Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm Yahoo's Wemlu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors took down the Cleveland Cavaliers by a score of 112-96. It was a bit of an easy win, which is nice. You know, this is one of those games where, you know, I'm a pro, but I definitely watched this game in bed with my laptop. Like, it's one of those kind of games. Very stress-free. And, you know, even the Cavaliers, I mean, it was a four-point game with, like, under a minute left in the third quarter. And it was like, okay, you know, Cavs are hanging around. Raps were kind of inconsistent. But you weren't worried. The Raptors were going to handle the Cavaliers. You know, the Raptors might not be that good of a team. But they could beat the Cavs. They could beat the Cavs. Especially a Cavs team that didn't have Colin Sexton. Which, I got to say, a big relief. Colin Sexton really... really, really demoralized the Raptors in a win for Cleveland earlier this season. You know, that's tough. That was one of Norm's last memories as a Raptor, which not great. I think the next game they beat Denver, and then Norm was gone. So that was literally one of Norm's last memories, was getting punked by Colin Sexton. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was an easy win. And this was a game where the Raptors didn't even shoot the three very well, which is great. Because, you know, I just got to say, I feel like the Raptors are really three-point dependent, which you could probably say about most teams in the modern NBA. You know, obviously, like, threes are like half the offense in the NBA now, if not more. But I feel like the Raptors are especially three-point dependent. And actually, John Schumann of NBA.com, the great stats guru there and the writer there, he put out a graphic where it kind of showed basically three-point variance as to sort of if teams shoot above league average on a particular game versus if they shoot below league average on a particular game, how much does that affect their win percentage? And obviously, if you make more shots, you win more games. But relative to each other, right? What is the biggest difference? Which team is most reliant on getting hot from the three-point line? Raptors are clearly one of the teams at the top there. But today, the Raptors got whatever they wanted against the Cavs. The three-point shot wasn't dropping. The Raptors shot 8 of 29. But the Raptors are super efficient getting to the basket. Really, really good performance from their forwards. Pascal and OG both finishing with 20-plus. Even coming off the bench, Utah was giving them 9, all right? And Malachi was sensational in the second half. But, yeah, the Raptors just got to the rim. And the Cavs actually played a zone, which makes sense. The Raptors, again, shot 8 of 29 from 3. So you can zone on a night like that. It's a bit of a gamble, but still. But, yeah, the Raptors just had a lot of great passing sequences. Like, the 32 assists... isn't that remarkable? Because we've seen, you know, like earlier this season, we've seen the Raptors hit 32. We've seen the Raptors hit like 40 in previous years and things like that. But you rarely see 30 plus assists in the modern NBA with only 8 made threes. That really shows some really good interior passing, some really good ball movement. And yeah, there's a lot of nice, you know, high-low passing from the Raptors in the post. You know, you want to see those kind of performances. You really do. It's just fun to watch. And there was a lot of really good ball movement tonight. A lot of good tiki-taka sequences. And they got the win. And really, you know, the guy who cracked this game wide open was Malachi Flynn. Who, I mean, 18 points on 6 shots for Malachi today. Sensational performance. Incredible efficiency from the point guard position. Let's be honest. We don't often see that from Kyle or Fred. But 18 points on 6 shots is pretty, pretty nice. And yeah, the weird thing was Malachi was very quiet in the first half. He had one play where he was isoing against Cabangele of the Cavaliers, and he's a big man. I believe immigrant to Canada as well. He's Canadian. But yeah, you know, Malachi had Cabangele on a switch and crossed him up so hard that Malachi also crossed himself, and he also stumbled. He scored because, you know, the recovery was late and he got to the free throw line. But Malachi only had 2 points heading into the last minute of the third quarter. And that's where the best play in this game occurred, which was Kevin Love just showing incredible disdain for his job. You know, there's this viral video that's been going around, this TikTok of this guy with a beard. Not even a beard, a mustache. And he's just making a series of jokes about, you know, what it's like to work customer service at an IKEA. Needless to say, it's not pleasant, as you can imagine. If anyone's ever worked retail, it's definitely not pleasant. But anyway, yeah, that was basically Kevin Love working his job as an NBA player. Which I gotta say, listen, there's a big difference between working in IKEA and having people ask you to go check in the back versus playing NBA basketball and getting paid like 30 plus million to just inbound a basketball properly. And, you know, I get it. You know, the Cavs probably must be miserable to play on. Okay, Kevin's probably like, you know what? You know, I should be one of the 15 washed power forwards on the Nets right now. It's not fair. Life is not fair. But like, I can't, how do you even describe this play? So Kevin Love seemed to be upset because the Raptors are going hard to the offensive glass. Ken Birch ended up fouling him, crashing the glass, and Love was knocked over, scraped his knee, floor burn. That sucks. I mean, that objectively sucks. If you ever had a floor burn, it's painful. And, you know, Love shot 2 free throws. He made them. And on the other play, the Raptors crashed the glass again. And I think Freddie Gillespie knocked into Love as Malachi scored a layup. And as the ball was just sort of dribbling sort of off the made shot towards the back, towards the baseline, Love was the inbounder. And instead of just inbounding the ball, he like slapped at the ball. Like he was frustrated, he was mad. He's just slapped at the ball. And of course, that pass never made it anywhere, because his point guard was expecting like an actual pass. And instead, Kevin Love slapped the ball right to Stanley Johnson, who immediately reversed the ball to Malachi Flynn, and Malachi hit the 3. That was a 5-0 run for Malachi Flynn in a 4-point game to stretch it immediately to 9 points just off of that play alone. And yeah, I mean, it's like 4 seconds. Malachi had 5 points. This guy's the new Reggie Miller. And then, yeah, the next play down, the Cavs turn it over. The Raptors get out in transition, and Freddie Gillespie is the trailer. The Raptors find him, and he's fouled by Love. So, like, just an abysmal close to the third quarter by Cleveland, who were kind of hanging around for a bit. From that point on, where the Raptors had complete control, they hit some threes as well. They completely knocked the game wide open. And Love, I mean, he didn't play in the fourth quarter. I checked every other rotation player for the Cavaliers, every other player on the Cavs who got minutes tonight, got minutes in the fourth quarter, except for Kevin Love, who, you know, I mean, like, yo, he's getting paid like $33 million, $34 million, man. Like, what kind of move is that? Like, yeah, you got knocked and whatever. Like, you know, you never had a foul go uncalled in Tampa? Like, just inbound the ball and keep it pushing. Like, I don't know what to say, really. In any case, Malachi was sensational. That really got him started. And, yeah, he was really, really good in the fourth quarter. I thought he controlled the game really well on that front. He did a really good job of getting inside and driving, probing, creating openings. And whether he was going to score off of those sequences or that he was going to dish it off. And I think he found Yuta for a cutting dunk and also for a corner three. Like, it was just great to see Malachi break down the defense and get inside. You know, a lot of these times, you know, we've seen Malachi be paired with Kyle Lowry or Fred VanVleet. And, you know, when that happens, just like it was tonight, you'll see a lot of Malachi deferring to other guys. Or not even deferring, but calling their number instead of calling his own number. And that's fine, right? Of course, you want to see them share the ball. And, you know, obviously, you hope the offense, you know, moves to whoever has the best advantage. But I feel like Malachi's less aggressive with his own shot when he does have another guard out there with him, another point guard. But today in the fourth quarter, it was Malachi's turn to sort of take over, and he did a really good job. He hit a three. He got fouled on a three. And he just generally, you know, was really good. I don't know. I mean, this game didn't really need closing, you know, in a sense, because the Raptors were in control. But, like, in so much the Raptors had to finish off the game and hold off whatever comeback push from the Cavs that never really came. It was Malachi who was out there doing it. And, you know, this fourth quarter Malachi thing has become a real thing, man. Fourth quarter Flynn. I think he's, you know, if Red Van Vliet and all these other nicknames don't really pan out, maybe fourth quarter Flynn or something like that. But he's had moments. He's had real moments. I really enjoyed the way he played. And, you know, I think this is a game where the Raptors clearly wanted to get their bench more involved, more engaged. They didn't have Gary Trent Jr., but they did have the rest of their guys on the bench. I mean, quite honestly, the ball did move better. But also, like, I think, you know, the Raptors were smart in doing that, obviously, because they're playing a back-to-back. They're playing five games this week. So they're playing a set of four games in five nights. Actually, I don't know if it's four games in five nights. But in any case, they're going on a West Coast road trip. They're playing Brooklyn. They're playing at home. And then they're playing Denver. They're playing Utah. They're playing the Lakers twice. And then they're playing the Wizards, who lost today in overtime to San Antonio. Shout out to DeMar DeRozan. You know, incredible player, DeMar DeRozan. Closing that game out. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a tough stretch. So, with it being a back-to-back, it made sense to limit the starters' minutes. And I liked it. Nobody really played heavy minutes. Kyle was the leader, 34 minutes there. 32 for Fred, 32 for OG, 31 for Pascal. That's obviously a lot better than, I mean, they were all playing like 40 minutes against the Knicks the other day on the weekend. And we got to see Malachi play 24 minutes, and that's much better because he played like six against the Knicks. And he did a really good job. He really closed it out strong. And that's what you would love to see. You know, Nick Nurse had a lot of praise for Malachi after the game as well. But I thought it was just a better performance on the bench as a whole. Utah came in, was pretty energetic and pretty good with his defense. The Raptors played a box and one for stretches against Darius Garland. And yeah, Utah's was the one, which, you know, listen, that's not the first time it's happened. We saw it against the Bulls when the Raptors played the Bulls, and against Zach LaVine, the one in that box and one was Utah. And maybe that's, maybe, you know, his nickname, the Chosen One in Japan. Maybe the Chosen One is referring to the one in that Nick Nurse chooses for the box and one, because he's good in that role. He really is. His length, his quickness, his activity is strong, and he filled in quite nicely, you know, cutting inside for dunks. Had two mid-range jumpers, too, getting into the middle of the zone, flashing to that, you know, elbow area, catching the ball, quickly turning around for a jumper, hit two of those. He was very efficient, obviously. Didn't miss a shot. 9 points for Utah. And even Stanley Johnson gave him a great, great push. I thought Stanley was really, really solid. You know, he wasn't initially in the rotation. The first half, the Raptors rolled with Freddie Gillespie, Malachi Flynn, Utah Watanabe, Rodney Hood, and DeAndre Bembry. Hood had not done much, and Bembry was like actively bad, which is rare. He left like a layup, like a wide open layup short. He made some silly turnovers. Like, you don't usually see that performance from Bembry. I guess he hasn't played much of late, so it's maybe hard to get his rhythm. But yeah, the Raptors, and Freddie Gillespie was in foul trouble too. I didn't think he played great. But in the second half, Nick Nurse rolled with Stanley Johnson, and Stanley was great. I mean, I think the box score only says 3 points, two rebounds, an assist, a steal, 11 minutes. But I just thought Stanley gave them a nice punch of energy, and he kept the ball moving. I don't know if Nick necessarily sees Stanley as like a zone buster per se, because you wouldn't think a guy like Stanley's a zone buster, especially considering he's not, no one considers him a threat to shoot. But if you remember earlier this season against the Heat when the Raptors played them, you know, Stanley was really good against their zone. And I don't know if that specific game was in Nick's mind or anything like that, but Stanley seemed to come in and just move the ball well. I think that's part of the thing. You just need quick ball movement. You just need guys to sort of swing the ball around. And Stanley gave you some physicality as well, but no mistakes from Stanley this time. And just played in his role quite well. 11 minutes, all of them in the second half. That's pretty good. And yeah, the Raptors were able to close it out. The bench was actually able to extend the lead, which was great to see. And then the starters came back in and, you know, they just closed it out. I mean, whether that was Pascal driving downhill, getting to the basket with ease, spin move, finishing, hit two threes, two of five from three, which, hey, listen, If Pascal can go 2 of 5 from three every single game, I'd be thrilled. I'd be absolutely thrilled. Pascal didn't get the free throw line. I felt like there were very few calls at the basket, so I understand. There were a couple of plays where Pascal sort of had some contact. To be honest, Pascal himself was dealing with foul trouble, 5 fouls. That hurt his playing time. He only played 31 because of it. But he was solid. OG was really good. I liked OG's performance a lot. So this is the fourth straight game that OG's had 20-plus points. And unlike the previous three games, OG was actually not relying on the three. You know, not that OG has to rely on the three as in, like, he's Kyle Korver or something, right? But, like, you know, generally speaking, if OG's going to have a 20-point game, he's probably made, like, 3 or 4 threes. And today, OG was 0 for 5 from 3, but he was 9 of 10 from the two-point range. And that was great to see. And OG was able to drive downhill and get at the Cavs in the paint repeatedly. And I really loved seeing that, you know. And there was one play where he drove, posted Jared Allen, and patiently worked to get to his left hand for a reverse layup. And that's, you know, Jared Allen's a very good shot blocker. But yeah, I mean, I really liked OG's game. I think he's really progressing in terms of, like, learning how to drive, finding the reads on the kickouts as well. There's one play in the second half where OG drove, collapsed the defense, drew the help defense. The Cavs are pretty help conscious as a team. They're just not very defensively conscious in general, but OG, after the drive, drawing the second defender, kicked it to Fred in the corner. And that's the kind of play that you see happen all the time with, like, Kyle or Fred or even Pascal, right? But to see OG also learn and have that sort of sense of, you know, where to go in the offense has been great to see. I mean, he's in a really nice rhythm of late, and he's just had a really nice year. I mean, listen, man, 9 of 10 from two-point range, that's like a DeAndre Jordan kind of stat. Speaking of DeAndre Jordan, we basically had that kind of performance from Kevin Birch, who matched his previous career high with 14 points in 29 minutes. Great to see Kem and Kyle Lowry show some chemistry there. Listen, Kyle has always had a pick-and-roll partner over the years, and it's been kind of sad watching this season on that front, in addition to other fronts, let's be real. But on that front specifically, just because the Raptors, you know, that pick-and-roll game, that central pick-and-roll game is such a big part of, you know, what the Raptors have run over the years. And, you know, we've seen it with Kyle. Like, literally, in my mind, I'm seeing Kyle pick-and-roll with Amir Johnson. We're seeing Kyle Lowry pick-and-roll with Jonas Valanciunas. Kyle Lowry pick-and-pop with Patrick Patterson. Kyle Lowry, you know, pick-and-roll with even, like, you know, Bebe Nogueira, or, like, pick and pop in the mid range with Serge Ibaka. That's probably the most prolific one, if it's not the JB one. But, like, Kyle's always had guys to work with in the pick and roll, and, like, even Bismack Biyombo, man, he worked a lot of good games with Bismack Biyombo. Like, we went to the freaking conference finals and took two games off the championship Cavaliers with LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie, with Kyle Lowry running pick and rolls with Bismack Biyombo. Man, this man was working magic with Luis Scola, like, who was, like, 66 years old at that point and eligible for Moderna, like, at that point in 2016. Like, that's who Kyle Lowry was working pick and roll with. And this year, like, I've just never seen Kyle not be able to set up a guy. And that was just the case. Like, you could, like, lead a horse to water. You can't force him to drink. And, like, Aaron Baines literally had, like, the hooves. His hands were like hooves on a horse. Like, he just wasn't working. And I've never seen that happen. But Kyle's finally able to now play with a guy who, again, it's not like Kevin Birch is some sort of prolific offensive player. He definitely isn't. But, like, what you're seeing from Kevin Birch is just the ability to jump and catch a pass and to finish. And, you know, it's not like the Raptors are throwing him the passes into traffic. Like, Kyle's basically just showing trust in a way that I don't think Kyle had trust in some of these other guys, because the other guys weren't trustworthy. And what we're seeing is, like, so Kyle would come off the pick and roll today, and the Cavs would blitz. They would show two guys at the ball and try to force Kyle to, you know, away from the pass, cut his momentum off, maybe swing to the wing, and then the defense can reset. Stop the play in its tracks. And Kyle was able to read this, and he was just able to throw the pass when the help came. Just throw the pass blindly over the top. And into that area around the free throw line, maybe a little bit inside the free throw line. And just with the trust that Kevin Birch will be able to jump to catch that ball and then make a play with it. And Kyle recorded 5 of his 10 assists just to Kevin Birch rolling to the basket. And Birch had a couple of dunks. Birch had a couple of you know, push shots in the lane, some little, you know, push floaters kind of thing. And yeah, there you go, 14 points. I mean, listen, it's not hard to play with Kyle Lowry. It really is very easy to play with Kyle Lowry. He is so good at accentuating what other players like to do. And yeah, it's just been, it's been fun to watch, I think, honestly. I think it's been a relief. And to be honest, as a fan, I just that's a big part of Kyle's game that I didn't get to see this year, which kind of sucks, right? Like, it really kind of sucks. And I'm going to look up the passing numbers now. In terms of players who have received the pass from Kyle Lowry and shot the ball, okay? This season, Aaron Baines was at 41% shooting. And, like, just think about that, 41% shooting. Like, that's just not good. Like, I've seen Kyle, like, yeah, that's mad low. In any case, what is Birch at right now? This is before today's game. The numbers are at 50% on passes off of Kyle Lowry. From Kyle Lowry, Ken Birch shooting 50%. Imagine that's shooting up to 60% after this game. Even like a Boucher, 52%. Like, you would, again, like, it's not hard to finish and play around Kyle, but yeah, it just had not been working with Baines. In any case, that was a nice avenue. The Raptors just got a lot of good passes, honestly, throughout the course of the game. I think there were a lot of really nice plays. And again, the Cavs are just not very good. And they don't care. And honestly, their most veteran player, their most accomplished player, their most well-paid player, I mean, he was out to lunch. And that's kind of what it is. So in terms of your other notes from the game, I thought, it wasn't the greatest game from Fred. I mean, defensively, I had no issues with it. He just couldn't make his outside shots, you know, try to get inside for layups. Early on, he had two really impressive layups, one with the left hand, one with the right hand. But, you know, over the course of the game, the Cavs were really packing it in. And so it really needed Fred to hit some outside shots. He wasn't able to make those. Freddie Gillespie got into some foul trouble. He's had a couple of quiet performances of late. I don't know what specifically is the issue there. I think, I mean, some of them he missed like an open dunk, for example. But I think part of it is just like he's going to feed off the other guys. And the bench as a whole offensively have not looked that great. Freddie Gillespie finally got called for his first moving screen, by the way, which, yeah, he's been moving on a lot of screens, which is great. Listen, every good screener is going to move on some of their screens, and Freddie's been doing a good job of screening. But I would really like to see Freddie kind of pick it up again. I mean, he had a really nice game against the Nets last time. Obviously, this time with KD is going to be a little different, but hopefully he has a nice game there. And yeah, we'll see what the Raptors do against the Nets. Presumably, they might have some more guys back. I think Gary missed today's game with some sort of like lower body bruise or whatever, like, I don't know, man. So it'll be interesting to see his fit. But in any case, yeah, basically the next week and a bit is going to determine the whole season. I mean, you know, the Raptors are in the position they are now. They're either going to make the playoffs or they're going to make the lottery. Or I guess they're going to make the lottery regardless. But, like, you know, we'll see what the outcome of the season is. And, yeah, honestly, if they can come out of this stretch like 3-3 or even 4-2, like, they would deserve to make the playoffs, honestly, because that would be a team you would actually want to see, because they're playing some really tough teams now. Brooklyn's got KD back. I mean, KD was cooking in his first game, his return. They're going to be playing Denver. I mean, Denver, obviously, you know, they don't have Murray anymore, and they even lost Will Barton of late, but still a very good team. And Utah, they've also cooled off a little bit, but they're still really good. Also, but then again, they lost to Minnesota today. That's odd. They play the Lakers. You know, they got AD back. We'll see if LeBron's back for it. Probably not, but we'll see. And then the Clippers. And the Clippers are a tough opponent for the Raptors. The Raptors lost to the Clippers twice last season, which should really be three times, considering we lost Kawhi to them as well. Now Serge. Damn, that sucks. But hopefully we beat the Clippers. And then the Wizards. So if the Raptors can finish that stretch, that 6-game stretch with like a 3-3 record or even 4-2, like, yeah, I would be excited to see what they do in the playoffs, because, you know, that would say to me that this team can do some damage. But you never really know. And having expectations of this season has been very, very difficult. You're more likely or not to be disappointed. So in terms of your three stars from this game, first star, I'm giving that to Malachi Flynn. 18 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. 2 steals, a turnover. I think that turnover was at the very end of the game when he was dribbling out the clock. So that's going to hurt his assist to turnover ratio. But so I'm really considering that a zero turnover game, considering that's just him showing good sportsmanship and dribbling it out. But yeah, 4 of 6 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Only thing I would, only small tiny thing I would nitpick from this game was Malachi came off a screen, curled around a screen for a jumper, which you don't usually see Malachi doing that much. But he curled around a screen and he didn't really position himself well, was leaning into the shot, leaning in to the 3-point line, despite the fact that his defender wasn't actually on his hip. I think that was just poor recognition. In any case, I wanted to see him develop playing as the off guard, and that's one of the ways you got to do it. You got to learn how to play off the ball, get your shot off, get a clean shot off around the screen without the ball. And yeah, other than that, though, Malachi was sensational, man. He was really, really good in the fourth quarter. Really fun, honestly. In terms of your second star, I'm giving that to OG Anunoby. 20 points, 32 minutes, 9 of 15 shooting, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block. Sensational. He had one play late in the game where he was Damian Dotson was trying to ISO against OG, and literally there was like 14 seconds left on the shot clock. Dotson tried an assortment of moves, and I get it, whatever. It's just Damian Dotson, whatever. It's not a big deal, right? Trying to turn a Benz into that Dotson. Anyway, you really have this guy trying to just dribble and get a shot off against OG. And OG just locked this man up. This man put him in a cage in a zoo. Like, this guy, OG was like cutting us off on the hand, on the dribble, on the drive. Dotson had to reset. And then, you know, he went from the wing to the corner and tried to attack from there. And then OG ended up blocking him. And it was a shot clock violation. Like, it was tough. But yeah, OG was sensational. I liked his offense a lot too. But that defensive play at the end was great. And then your third star, we gave that to Pascal Siakam. 25 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. 11 of 19 shooting. Hit 2 threes tonight. Very good at times. You know, there were like 3 or 4 shots. But you pretty much expect to see that from him on a nightly basis. But yeah, he was pretty efficient otherwise, especially attacking one-on-one, was able to get whatever he wanted and hit 2 threes, which is, listen, I don't think anyone would complain if Pascal shot 2 of 5 every night from 3. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Isaac Okoro. 20 points for Okoro. That's a team high. 8 of 16 was bricks from 3, 1 of 8, but got inside the paint and finished reliably in there. Yeah, I mean, he was really bad from the first two games I've seen from Raptors Cavs, so he was much better today. He stood out to me, and we'll see. I mean, listen, he was a high pick for Cleveland, so hopefully he pans out. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. If you haven't already, go check in on the live call-in show. Me and Josh took calls from Raptor fans earlier today, so go listen back to it. It was a really fun episode. And aside from that, I'll be back tomorrow. The Raptors are going to play the Nets. And, you know, we'll see if the Raptors can sweep the Nets. That'd be pretty fun. Before we sweep them in the playoffs, just like we did last year. Am I right, guys? No. But in any case, that would be a big game. And if the Raptors can win that game, it'd be a nice little momentum to take on the West Coast road trip. And if they don't, well, I mean, would you be surprised if the Raptors couldn't beat KD and Kyrie? I wouldn't be that surprised. So thanks everyone for listening, and I'll check in tomorrow.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.